valuable lesson. He said, learn a lesson from the banana. He said, stick with a bunch or you'll get peeled. So it's important that we stick together. Amen. All right. Of course, the old outlaw said, if you don't hang together, you'll hang separately. So, don't hang one way or the other, but it's better to hang together. Amen. We're going to go to the book of Romans tonight, chapter 8, verse 5. So, kids can, if you'd like to, go to your class and upper room youth. You may be dismissed tonight to your class. Amen. And if you like, just stay here with us and we'll go to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 5. Scripture said, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Amen. Have you ever heard somebody say, I just don't know what to do with myself? Well, I'm going to tell you what to do with yourself. So if you're wondering what to do with yourself tonight, I'm getting ready to tell you from the Word of the Lord what to do with yourself. Amen. The Lord bless you and you may be seated. The devil gets a lot of blame for a lot of stuff. He's always getting blamed for everything. For everything. He gets blamed for just about everything that is. Everything that happens, the devil gets blamed for it. But I want to tell you tonight, the devil is not your greatest enemy. The world gets some blame, but the world is not your greatest enemy. The person that causes you the most trouble is the one that you look at in the mirror when you brush your teeth, when you comb your hair. That's the one that causes you more trouble than anybody else, is yourself. Self is our greatest enemy. So all the devil can do to you is give you a thought. Put thoughts in your head, but that's all he can do. He can't make you do anything. We've heard people say, well, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. He doesn't have that ability. He cannot. All he can do is put a temptation or a thought in your head, and then it's up to you what you do from that point. In the Scripture, self is also called flesh. In these verses, flesh and also the carnal mind. That's self. Self. Self is real tricky. Our self is devious. What was it the prophet Jeremiah wrote about it? He said For the heart is desperately wicked above all things. And who can know it? And then he said, but it's the Lord that tried the reins. So we're real sneaky. Amen. And your flesh makes a lot of excuses. The reason it does things, and it's very rare, you know, for people just to own up, accept responsibility. Amen. I've noticed that we love to play the blame game. And we learn that from our parents, our first parents, Adam and Eve. Do you remember what happened when the Lord accused Adam and called Adam out because he had eaten the fruit of the tree? What did Adam say? He said, it's that woman that you gave me. See, he's blaming on God, isn't he? He said, if you hadn't given me that woman, this would never have happened. So it's your fault, God. Amen. And it's the woman's fault. And what did the woman say? She said, well, it was the serpent. It was his fault. And of course, the devil, he just always gets blamed, and he knows that he's at fault. So it's a lesson that we learn early on, to pass on the blame to somebody else. But that's self. Self does that. If you ever observe babies, then you know what selfishness is. Even I know people, they kind of cringe when I talk about this. But babies are the most selfish things in the world. I know they're sweet, lovely, but if you'll be honest, there's nothing more selfish than a baby. They don't care what you're doing. They don't care if you're sleeping. They don't care if you're eating. They don't care what you're doing. It's all about themselves. If their belly hurts, you talk about belly aching, they're going to let you know. If their seat cover needs changing, they're going to let you know. If they're hungry, they're going to let you know. They're going to rock your world. Yes, sir. They're going to make everybody unhappy until somebody makes them happy. Because it's all about me. But the problem is, some people never grow out of that. They get used to being served when they're babies, and when they get grown, they still think everybody ought to serve them. They still think that the world revolves around them. And if something goes wrong in their world, the world is supposed to stop until their need is met. That's called selfishness. Amen. The reason that we get upset when somebody puts mayonnaise on our hamburger instead of mustard, you know why that is? It's selfishness. Burger King said, have it your way, but you don't always get it your way. And you shouldn't. It's not good for you to get it your way all the time. And we especially live in a culture where we're very, very particular. And we're used to having things our way. And if you grew up in a house where your mom and dad did everything your way, good luck. I hope you can overcome that. If you grew up in a house where your parents served you, I hope you can overcome that. But if your parents tonight, let me give you a little advice here, free of charge, and I know that advice is usually worth what you pay for it. But if you're raising a child, don't give them everything they want. Purposely, absolutely on purpose, make sure they don't get everything they want. Because if you do, you're creating a monster. Amen. And if you excuse them for everything, amen. And this is not a parenting class, but it's just good advice tonight. I hear parents always excusing their child whenever they're irritable and throwing a fit. It's always, oh, they're just tired. No, they're just being selfish little kids. That's what they are. They're just selfish little children, and they need to be corrected. They need to be taught that's not good behavior. It's not acceptable. Amen. And that you're not going to tolerate it. That's good preaching, Brother Grissom. You're doing a really good job here tonight. You're trying to help us. Amen. Praise God. I've heard people say, well, my child just, they can't be still in church. They can be taught. It just takes time. You know, it's not going to happen instantly. It takes a lot of effort to do that. Amen. And I know some parents that just give up, won't bring their kids. Well, that's a great solution, isn't it? You don't do that in school, do you? You don't say, honey, you can't go to school today because you won't behave. I can't go to work today and make a living because I got to stay here because you might misbehave. Isn't it interesting how church is always such an option for people? We talk about it being so important to us, and yet we'll use some of the silliest excuses for missing. Amen. And so, but selfishness, it starts in us as children. It's just our nature. I think it was a book I read by James Dobson that talked about that it's a good thing that children are small, because if they were big, nobody would survive. If they were strong, nobody would survive. You ever watch them when they get mad, little things? Boy, they get their fists and they curl up and their face turns scarlet red and they're just full of rage and fury. And if they could get you, they would. Thank God they're little and not very smart when they're starting out. Amen. There's a lot of things they don't know yet. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know, maybe I'm just off on a tangent here. Some of the best advice I read from Charles Swindoll, he said that we need to be just as hard on attitudes as we are on actions. That's a good line to remember. Be just as hard on attitudes as you are on actions. Sometimes we let kids get away with attitudes, and I really don't like these attitude shirts. I'm sorry, but I don't really like them. Attitude shirts. You know what I'm talking about? They've got these cute little sayings about attitude on them. Does not play well with others. Well, that's not a good thing to teach a child. It's not good to reinforce that. And I see adults wearing them, as if we're supposed to bow and scrape to you and your attitude. We share the same planet and breathe the same air. Grow up. Be mature. Amen. Learn how to get along. Don't expect people to get along with you because of your attitude. Amen. Praise God. Boy, that's good, Brother Grissom. You're really hitting it tonight. Amen. I don't think we need to excuse people's attitudes. Amen. I don't expect you to excuse mine. If my attitude's wrong, I need to apologize to you. I owe you an apology. That's right. And if your attitude's bad and you know it's bad, then you need to correct it. Make an apology. Don't excuse yourself. One of the first things you don't need to do to yourself is excuse yourself. Don't make excuses. Amen. I know a sweet little lady. I've known her all my life. And when I was a kid, she was always late to church. And guess what? It's nearly 60 years later, and she's still late to church. And she always has an excuse. She's early for church usually one day a year, and that's when we move the clocks ahead and don't tell her. But always has an excuse. You see, you can either change your behavior and do right, and I'm not saying... You know, she's a wonderful person. I don't mean anything derogatory. One of the sweetest, greatest people I know. But I'm just saying that here's a habit that's ruled her life for 60 years. And it can change. Just by owning up and saying, hey, I'm tired of making excuses. I'm going to change my life so I can be on time. So, but when we make excuses for ourselves, amen. And so it's easy to do. Amen. You remember somebody wrote a song several years ago. You remember that song, Excuses? That was a good song. I like that. Amen. It talked about a whole family that stayed home just to blow some poor kid's nose. Excuses. We use them every day. The devil will supply them if from church you stay away. So, yeah, we all can make excuses, but that's not being honest with ourselves. You have to dig a little deep and get honest with yourself. Where does selfishness come from? What's its origin? Let's find out. I'm through meddling now, so you can relax a little bit. We're going to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 15. The Lord is here addressing Satan. And he said, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" And verse 13 tells us the reason. "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." And so this is Satan's rebellion. I want you to notice in verse number 13, 14, he has eye trouble. Selfish people have eye trouble. If you listen to their conversation, it's full of I and me and my and mine. It's all about me. That's a real good sign. If that's your favorite pronoun, then you probably have a little problem with selfishness. If it's all about you. Amen. It's like the movie star that somebody met and they talked for 2 hours about themselves. And finally they took a breath and said, "Oh, enough about me. What do you think about me in my new movie?" So it's still about me. It's all about me. And so if it's all about you, then probably you need to learn what to do with yourself. So that the origin is, we go all the way back to Satan, and he's full of self. He's full of self. And that was the original sin, is just being selfish. It's all about me. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, it reveals some of the fruit of selfishness. This is what selfishness looks like. Let's look at a photo tonight of selfishness. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." Verse 2, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." See, that's the root of it, isn't it? People love themselves. Amen. And then here's some of what comes out of that. Covetous. What does the word covetous mean? It means desiring what others have. We have a word for that, keeping up with the Joneses. We have another word for that, peer pressure. Wanting what everybody else has. Not being ever satisfied with what you have. Because when someone else gets something, you deserve it. Right? Isn't that what advertising tells you every day? That you deserve it. Go to the mall. You deserve it. Instant credit. Well, you can get instant credit, but you don't get instant payments. That's a problem. Easy financing. I've never known any easy financing in my whole life. It's easy to get it. It's hard to pay it back. Before service tonight, I asked Sister Vicki to bring us the total that we owe in the annex over there. Man, I'll tell you, I think instead of paying it off, it's growing. It's hard. It's aggravating. You pay and you pay and you pay, and it goes down so slowly. Actually, it's not an accident that the banks are the nicest buildings in any city. So anytime you think that they're doing you a favor, you look at their building and then look at yours. You look at their balance and then look at yours. Amen. And they're not doing you any favors. And so, but we live in a culture that wants instant gratification. Amen. We have instant potatoes and they're not like the real thing, are they? They're not so bad if you know how to doctor them up, but it's not like the real thing. There's a lot of instant things. And we have a lot of substitutes, sugar substitute. Isn't that great? Nothing really substitutes for sugar, does it? No, not the real thing. There's a lot of substitutes. I sure have consumed them. And my brother always told me, he said, don't ever use artificial sweeteners. He said, they'll make you fat. I said, what do you mean? He said, everybody that uses them is fat. So he had a point there. So that was his observation about artificial sweeteners. Amen. But we live in a world of instant gratification. I want it, and I want it now, and you owe it to me. Amen. Well, boy, we can't really get started on that, can we? But covetousness is one of the fruits of selfishness. Boasters, braggarts, use the word proud, arrogant, blasphemers, people that love to insult, disobedient to parents. Who had that sneak in there? Unthankful. I told you the story one time, and I nearly shocked the fellow half to death. He was begging, and I gave him some money, and he didn't think it was enough. So he looked at me, and he said, is that all? And I looked for him right back, and I said, give it back! You never saw a more startled human being in your life. He didn't know what to say. He was going, He'd never heard anybody say that. But he was an ingrate. He didn't do anything to deserve that. Whatever I gave him, he should have been thankful for. It didn't matter. I didn't owe him anything. And let me give you a real good lesson about self. Nobody owes you anything. I see kids, you know, when they when something happens to their parents and they're trying to divide the inheritance, that doesn't belong to you. If it comes to you, use it wisely in honor of your parents, but they don't owe that to you. If they want to go out at the end and buy bubble gum with it, that's not your money. You didn't earn it. And it's not just something that you should expect and demand because it belongs to you. No, it doesn't belong to you. It's theirs. They earned it. And what they do with it's up to them. Brother Grissom, that was kind of hitting close to home there. Well, don't be covetous and be thankful. And be thankful. And be thankful. And be thankful. Every day. Be thankful. Then he talked about unholy. That is, devoid of decency. People that are selfish are not holy people. They can't be because they're full of self. You cannot please God and yourself at the same time. Amen. If you try to please God, I'm going to tell you in a minute what you got to do to yourself. But you cannot please God and self at the same time. This doesn't work. And then he goes on to say, without natural affection. And truce breakers, people that don't keep their word. False accusers. Accuse other people of things that they're not guilty of. Incontinent, that means without self-control. They're fierce, that is, they're savage. And without sympathy and without sensitivity. Despisers of those that are good. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing that people that are not good will attack people that are good? Hostile toward virtue. It's interesting how people that are in low places want to drag people down to their level rather than rise to the good. Amen. So, traitors. There's a lot of stuff here, isn't there? Heady, that means rash. High-minded, that means conceited. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. That's a pretty good list, isn't it? He gives another in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21. He said, "For the works of the flesh are self or manifest," which are these. These are some of the ways that self manifests itself. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, which means controlled by desire, idolatry, worship of false gods, witchcraft. Witchcraft had to do with drug abuse in the Old Testament. Hatred or hostility, variance or contentiousness, emulations, which means jealousy, wrath, which just means a really bad temper, strife, divisions, and heresies, and envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's what selfishness looks like. It's pretty ugly, isn't it? Selfishness really is very, very ugly. It's not beautiful at all. Amen. And so that's what selfishness looks like. Now, what are we to do with ourselves? How do we conquer selfishness? Well, Jesus gave us this advice. This is what he simply said. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, he said unto them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Everybody say, deny himself. The first thing you got to learn to do is deny yourself. And then he said, take up his cross daily and follow me. Denying ourselves is not an easy thing to do, is it? I work at that. I really strive to do that. And it's not easy. Amen. But there are times when my flesh really wants something and I just say no. I've carried things around in a store before that I really wanted and then made myself put it back. And just said, you know what? You don't need that. There have been times that I wanted something to eat and I said, no, you're not going to have that. There are times that I've wanted, a drink and I just say, no, you're not going to. Just because my flesh. I knew a man one time that, Dr. Pepper, you remember what they used to have on that bottle? 10, 2, and 4. Remember that? And he went by that. He got a Dr. Pepper at 10. He got one at 2. And he got one at 4. And all of a sudden, he decided, you know what? This is taking control of me. So he just said, I'm not going to drink any. I'm not saying that it's wrong to drink Dr. Pepper. I'm just simply saying, don't let it control you. And I'm sorry, and I know this is a little odd and out there, but I try really hard not to use the word, I'm just dying for a drink. Everybody say that? I'm just dying. No, you're not. No, you're not. Amen. If I don't get a drink, I'm just going to die. No, you're not. Amen. That's yourself. That's your flesh talking. Amen. It would be good to teach yourself not to even say that. Amen. To learn to say, nope, you're not getting anything right now. Amen. Oh, but I've just got to stop and get a drink here. Well, really? Might be good just to say no. I know this is really weird, isn't it? Isn't this strange? But I'm teaching you how to conquer self. Just say no. I've heard people saying, I've told you one time I was in a meeting with young people. We were talking about temptations and carnal desires. And one of the boys said, he would have the Holy Ghost. And he said, I just can't help myself. I said, yes, you can. Don't tell me you can't help yourself. That's a lie from the pit of hell. If you have the Holy Ghost, you can control your flesh. you can say no. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's real good too, Brother Grissom. Thank you for saying that tonight. Amen. I needed to hear that. So Jesus said the first step is to deny yourself. And then he said, take up your cross. Uh-oh. He's not talking about a little gold one that dangles around your neck. He's talking about something that you can die on. Amen. And then the Apostle Paul takes up where Jesus left off. In Galatians 2 and 20, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So the Apostle Paul is saying, I crucify this flesh. Another place he said, I mortify my members. Mortify. We use that. You ever heard of a mortician? Somebody that deals with the dead? That's what he's talking about. He said, I put my members to death. In other words, I fight against my flesh and my fleshly desires, and I bring them under control. And it's a full-time job, isn't it, folks? It's something that we have to do every day. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Something we have to work at constantly. And it's not something we can do just one time. That's why he keeps saying daily. He said that we have to take up our cross and follow him daily. And we have to crucify ourselves daily. You just have to say no to the things that you know are wrong. And some things that are not necessarily wrong, but they're just not... They're just not worthy of your time, your talent. Amen. There are some things that are not sin, but they just rob you of time. But you know what I'm talking about? Some things, there's just a better way to use your time and your talent and your abilities. And so you just say, you know, I could do that. It wouldn't be wrong for me to do that. But if I do that, then it's going to steal some time that would be better spent doing something else. Well, that sounds like growing up, doesn't it? That sounds a whole lot like responsibility. Amen. That sounds a whole lot like discipline. Amen. Well, that's how you accomplish things in life, is you discipline flesh and self, and you tell flesh what to do rather than allowing flesh to tell you what to do. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So you have to tell your flesh what time to get up in the morning. You have to tell your flesh what time to go to bed at night. Amen. You have to tell your flesh. You have to dictate to it rather than let it dictate to you. You have to dictate the thoughts that you think. Amen. Isn't that right? Well, let's see if that is. Let's go back to Romans again. And let's look and see what it says here about thoughts. We read that a little bit early in Romans chapter 8. He said, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is an enemy of God. That's what enmity against means. It is an enemy of God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And so that's this battle that goes on between your ears right here. Amen. Anybody know about the war I'm talking about? This is where it happens right here. And what you do determines the outcomes right here in your mind. Amen. And you make the right decisions. It's not an easy thing. It's a battle. But to be carnally minded is to simply give in to the flesh and mind the things of the flesh. Do what your flesh wants to do. Give in to it. Like a little baby does. It just it just totally minds the things of the flesh. And then you have to start teaching children and give them responsibility and with a little discipline, help them to overcome things and learn how to be share the planet with other people and how to behave and all of those things. It's an ongoing challenge. Hey, I'll tell you what, my hat's off to good parents. If you've got some good kids, it's not an accident. If you raise some responsible adults, it didn't come easy. It cost you something. Amen. It cost you something. And if you had good parents, you need to thank God every day for them. Amen. And if you don't have good parents, still there's hope. There's still hope. Amen. You can you hang around here and we'll help you. Amen. We'll help you learn some things. Praise God. And learn about self and defeating self. Amen. So the Scripture said, I die daily, Paul said. Amen. If we just mind the things of the flesh and what the flesh wants to do, we cannot please God. Because this stuff right here, it wants to do what God doesn't want us to do. It does. It just is totally against everything that God is for. Now, to be spiritually minded is to be born into a spiritual mindset. When you receive the Holy Ghost, the Bible says that you receive the mind of Christ. And when you receive the mind of Christ, then you know what He would do, and you can do those things. Amen. Now, He gives us a really simple illustration here. He said, if you walk after the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What are you walking after? In other words, who are you following? Walking after. The Spirit proceeds, you follow after. And if you're following the Holy Ghost, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh because it's that way. However, if you're walking in the flesh, you cannot fulfill the will of God because you're walking away from Him instead of following after Him. So the answer then is that we are to follow after the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. And when we do that, He said, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So when we follow after the Spirit of God, amen, then we're not walking in ourself. And you know what? Do you know how to be happy? This really sounds like a contradiction, but it's not. When you refuse to please yourself and choose to please God, you will be happy. The Bible said, to please Him and be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Amen. That's amazing, isn't it? When you're trying to please yourself, you're never satisfied. Isn't that right? Praise God. Can you ever get enough shoes? Can you ever get enough? You know, you can look at a closet full of stuff. I don't have a thing to wear. You go to the refrigerator, you open it up, and man, we don't have a thing to eat. Walk over to a full cupboard and open it up, and I don't know what I want. I'll tell you how to cure that. Fast 3 days. And after the third day, you don't care what it is. It'd be greens and liver, and it's good. Don't make any difference. Amen. And if greens and liver don't look good, fast a couple more days. And by that time, it's not going to matter. You, whatever it is, you're going to be happy. Just to have something on your taste buds. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But you know what I'm talking about. You cannot please your flesh. No matter what you do, no matter what you have, it's not enough. Amen. You get a car paid for, you want another one. You move in a house, boy, this is nice, till you see somebody's got something better. Amen. And that ourself, our flesh just cannot be satisfied. But when you fall in love with Jesus Christ and you get the mind of Christ and He fills you, guess what? You can be satisfied. You can be thankful. You can look up to your little house and say, you know what? Thank God I've just got, I like this little place. I like it here. Amen. Praise God. You can be satisfied with what you have. And guess what? You can even get to the place that you're so satisfied with what you have that you can save and actually help somebody else. It doesn't take every penny you've got and every penny you ever hope to have to make a living, because all of a sudden you're not spending it all on yourself anymore. Boy, I'm really getting sneaky now, huh? Amen. But you learn that there's joy in helping others. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because you learn how to be satisfied, because you're not selfish anymore. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, let me close this tonight if I possibly can. In the book of Acts, Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost, and one of our very favorite verses in the Bible, and you could probably quote this with me, Acts chapter 2 and 38. You remember what that says? Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said, for the promise is to you and your children, all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. In verse 40, he said, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves. Everybody say, save yourselves. The best thing you can do for yourself is to save yourself. Now, how in the world can you save yourself? Well, you cannot save yourself by yourself. You've got to reach out beyond yourself. It's as if you were drowning in a sea and somebody throws you a life preserver. Amen. And all of a sudden, you have to reach out and get a hold of that. Somebody provided you with a means of saving yourself. And then they begin to draw you to safety. And they draw you to safety and safely put you in a safe place and save your life. But you had to cooperate with them. You had to purposely reach out yourself and grab a hold and hold on to that life preserver. And that's the instrument that brought you salvation. God has provided salvation for us, but we have to reach out and grab a hold of it ourselves. We have to obey what He told us to do. That's how we save ourselves. He provided the salvation vehicle, but we have to get in. We have to hold on. And so He said, repent. That is, change directions in your life. You're going the wrong way, you go the right way. Praise God. And then He said that be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, so that your sins can all be blotted out. And there's a point that you have reference to that says, this is the day that I buried my old sins and I'm not going back there again. And then He said, receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is the mind of Christ, the Spirit of God. And He said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And that power empowers you to live an overcoming life and to overcome sins and make right decisions and say no to self and say yes to God. That's what we do in the Holy Ghost. So that's what we got to do with ourselves. We got to save ourselves. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. That's an interesting word. It means warped, winding, or perverse. Any of those words would do. Amen. Praise God. We're kind of living in a warped world, aren't we? We're kind of living in a perverse world, aren't we? Amen. We're kind of living in a crooked world, aren't we? Amen. So all of those words that He said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Praise God. Amen. And the first thing we do is recognize, you know what? I really don't want to live like this anymore. I really don't want to live like this anymore. I know some people that couldn't wait to get away from God and church and preachers. Nobody telling me what to do. I'm gonna get out there. I'm gonna enjoy myself now. I'm gonna have fun now. Well, their life speaks for itself. It's not anything that we take pride in tonight. It's not we're boastful about anything. But when you see somebody that's, you know, they've had several marriages because things never work out. They have habits that they really wish they could get rid of, but they can't shake it on their own. And they're just not really happy and not really fulfilled. Let me tell you something. Sin will never make you happy. I'm not saying it doesn't have pleasure, because it does. But it won't make you happy. The pleasure is short-lived, and the regret goes on for a long time. Amen. So we just got to say no to self. No, that's not for me. There's a better way. Praise God. And I'm gonna find that way, and I'm going to get in that way, and I'm going to stay in that way, regardless of what anybody else does. Let's stand together tonight. Praise the Lord. He said, for to be spiritually minded is life and it's peace. Amen. Isn't peace a wonderful thing? I thank God for the peace that passes understanding. I thank God just every day for the peace that I have in the Holy Ghost. It's such a treasure. It's such a treasure. Amen. To have peace with God. Amen. To know that if anything happens, I'm going to wake up and my next step's going to be on a street of gold. My next breath will be celestial air. And the next face I see may be the face of Jesus Christ. To live with that kind of assurance, wonderful. Praise God. Praise God. I thank God for this peace that we have. It's a wonderful thing. Amen. Several years ago, right before I came to Athens, I had to have an open heart surgery. And that's always a scary thing. It's a very invasive and very painful and difficult surgery. And it's a little frightening. But you know what really, really surprised me and I'm so thankful for? I absolutely, and I stand here today and tell you so truthfully, I had no fear. And I thank God for that. It wasn't anything I did, but I just knew that everything's going to be all right. Praise the Lord. Regardless of how it came out, everything's going to be all right. Amen. That's a wonderful peace to have, folks. That's a wonderful peace to have. Amen. And so I invite you tonight to examine yourself. And the Bible said, see if you be in the faith. Are you really happy with the way your life's going? I know all of us have days, that moments that we have some regrets, but I'm saying just in general, day by day, are you pretty happy with the way that your life is going? Amen. Do you really think that you're living the very best life that you can? And if not, why not? Amen. If not, why not? Praise God. There's a great life waiting for you in Jesus Christ. Amen. So I invite you tonight, if you haven't met Him, why don't you come and meet Him tonight? If you'll open your heart and open your life, He'll come into you. The Bible said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open, I'll come into him and sup with him, he with me." My, what an invitation. I invite you tonight. If you don't know Him, come and know Him. If you do know Him tonight, and you need to make peace with the Lord, you need to settle some things, this is a great time. If you've just been struggling with some issues tonight, and you need some grace, I invite you to come. Amen. This altar's open. It would be good if we would spend a few moments responding to the call of the Lord and the Word of God. I invite you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Oh, peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray.